Welcome to the End Time News Report with Augusto Perez. We'll be taking a look at current world news events through the lens of Bible prophecy as we await the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, here is Augusto.
Welcome to the End Time News Report. I am Augusto Perez, and shalom. Today is Friday, October 25th, 2024, the year of our Lord. And my goodness, we are just a little over a week into till the election day. And there's a lot of hoopla out there, a lot of hopping and puffing and jumping and pushing and shoving and screaming and you name it. Cheating. Yeah, there's a lot of cheating and rigging. And, you know, it's getting to the point where this is getting so ridiculous. There has always been some of that. Okay. Always. There has always been some of that. But it was done. It was done kind of discreetly. It was done, you know, kind of very quietly, you know, a little bit at a time. This, what's going on right now is in your face. You know, we're going to do this and we don't care if you find out, we don't care what you do. We're going to do it because we want to do it. And that's it. You know, and this is the attitude. This is the attitude that we are seeing in people, not just the elections, in people all over. And, it's getting worse and worse. The spirit of Antichrist is everywhere. The spirit of Jezebel is everywhere. And it's going to continue to increase and intensify. And so we need to be aware of this. And so that we, when these things happen in your life, in your daily life, because that's what it boils down to, your daily life, You need to be aware of this and realize that we are not dealing against flesh and blood. We're not dealing against flesh and blood people. We are dealing against spiritual entities in human bodies. We're dealing against entities that have no body unless they come inside a human body. This is what we're dealing with. And so it behooves us to understand that. Otherwise, you're going to have a miserable life. You know, I was just sitting in my chair today and I was praying in the morning, you know, reading my Bible like I've been doing. And something happened. I'm not going to share because it's personal, but something happened and I just started laughing and laughing and laughing. And I laughed my head off for about 5 minutes. And you know what? It did my heart good. It did me good. And in the middle of your trials and in the middle of your tribulations and in the middle of your pain, yes, pain too, it would do good to laugh. It does good to laugh, even if you don't feel like it. You don't feel like it. The circumstances going on do not dictate that you laugh. The surrounding things, are no reason to laugh. But you know what? You laugh anyway. Laughter is good to the bones, the Bible says. And no wonder it's there. No wonder it's there. And Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, wrote that. So anyway, that's just the thought for the day. I wanted to give you that at the beginning. And another thing I wanted to give you, because there's so much junk going on that it's just nauseating, really, to try to cover it all and try to share it. But something grabbed me as I was going about my business yesterday. Someone, a good brother, sent me something, and it's about a priest, a little priest, in his parochial church, and I don't know who he is. Probably will never know who he is, and that's okay. But it's let's just say an anonymous little priest was captured in a video saying something that I thought it was so good. I have never heard anyone put it this this explicit and this clear and this so concise and so clear and so real. And it's, you know, it dawned on me that how God can open the eyes of anyone he pleases. A Catholic priest. How about that? A little Catholic priest. And God is using these priests, you know, that are not with the system, that are not with the Vatican, that you know, they know who Baglio, Biglio, whatever his name is, the Pope, they know who he is. They're not with him. And so God opens the eyes of people, no matter who they are. The Lord has shown me this time after time through the years, and I am more aware of it now than I have ever been. Not to judge by appearances, but to God looks at the heart and he sees if somebody's got a good heart and an open heart to him and a clear conscience, God is going to reveal some things to them and let them see things clearly. And anyway, without further ado, let me share with you what he said. And he was talking to, you know, he was talking like a shepherd, like to his flock, to the Christians. And this is a message to the Christians, okay? Whether you're Catholic or you're Protestant or whoever you are, okay? This is a message to the believers. Listen to this because it's very good. It is of no use to pray as a Christian and vote like a heathen. It is of no use to pray for life but vote for candidates that are for abortion, or pray for God to deliver the church from persecution, and then vote for candidates who are communist and support communism. It is of no use to pray for God for the expansion of the gospel, but then vote for candidates who want to close down churches, or pray for the family, and then vote for candidates that defend ideologies that are destructive to the family. It is of no use to pray for children and for their children, and in the elections, vote for candidates that defend pedophiles and gender ideologies. It is of no use to pray for God to deliver the youth from drugs, and then vote for candidates that are in favor of legalizing drugs. It is of no use to pray as a Christian if you're going to vote like a heathen. Have a good day, he said. And then he walked out. I thought that was excellent. So I just going to leave it there as the intro for today and kind of chew on that for a moment.
I like that. I think that's an excellent word. It's sad that so much of the church out there doesn't hear that word or really doesn't even, I suppose if most of them heard it, they wouldn't really go along with it because they love their heathen ways. That's the problem. You know, here recently, you know, we've been watching this insanity of this election and the brewing troubles that's surrounding it. And, you know, I obviously never realized that so much of America, the people inside America, which a lot of them now really were never born here, a lot, you know, the thousands and millions of people that have come into America, is they hate America. You know, it's kind of weird. Why would you go to a country you hate and want to change it back to the country you fled from? I mean, it makes no sense, but that seems to be where we are in history. It's amazing, and some of the loudest warning alarms that are out there seems to be people from, you know, and I'm talking about good people that have fled Cuba or their family fled Cuba or those that fled Venezuela or, you know, Nicaragua. You know, I could go on and on and on. Those that fled all these communist countries, those that fled the Middle East, you know, under attack and their families were being killed. And you come to America and you try to make it what you fled from. I mean, that has to be another side of insanity, actually. That's the only thing I can think of. But this seems to be where we're going. And that priest, as you called him, I don't know who that is and didn't hear that, but what, you know, what you described is right on. It's absolutely right on. Why do you pray for, and he must be talking to the people, you know, of the Bible or the Lord's people to some degree, or those that call themselves a church, because he says, why do you pray? Well, they have to pray to even consider these things, but it's like, why do you pray for these things that you know are right, and you vote in everybody that does it wrong? I mean, it makes no sense. But obviously in America, there is a huge number of communists. That's all you can call them. And you know, and I have to say the reason I call them communist is it's because what they say and what they do, what comes out of their mouth, the works they do with their hands, they're communists. And there are massive numbers of them. I never realized that there were so many in this country. But that's where we are. And I even have heard Donald Trump the last few days, he's been more serious, talking like it's very possible that the election will be given to Harris, and telling his people to prepare for those things. And I'm hearing different rhetoric coming in from those angles. And here's one that's kind of interesting. You know, I know you guys probably all remember Jerome Carsey. He was one of those that he's lucky to even be alive. He was the one that went to, I guess it was the nation Obama's from or was visiting, and tried to research the birth of Obama. And the next thing he had was guns pointed at him, and his life was threatened. He was held captive, and he finally got out, you know. But, you know, that African nation, you know, here's a guy that's still with us. And, you know, you don't hear a lot from him. And actually, I saw him on, I was kind of shocked to see him on America's Voice News yesterday, October 24th. He was on yesterday evening, and he was giving this warning to America's Voice News listeners. He says, I quote, and this comes from a recent investigation and research that he and another team had done into what's going on with the elections. And he said this, he said, we're suddenly just before the 2024 election, now finding mysterious algorithms in the election system to help voter fraud in the election equipment that takes the votes. Plus, we are finding now there is a cryptic codex or code on the physical ballots that make the way open for voter fraud in the upcoming election. And his last words basically were, because there is no way to correct this, you know, pretty much all, you know, lawyers, attorney generals, secretaries of states from different states, the state governments, the legislatures, you know, no matter what, you're not, they're not going to allow the real truth of the 2020 election, and they're never going to allow it to be fixed. And in 4 years since 2020, people have gone to jail. People have been arrested. People have been, had their phones and computers seized by the FBI. Anybody that questioned the 2020 election have come under persecution like you wouldn't believe. And so it's not a popular thing to do, because you may even lose your life. And that doesn't go to say you may not, you know, may also lose some family members or your job or your income. You're giving up everything to even look into that. But what Carsey's concerned about, he said, we haven't even tried, because the government of, and the governmental system of America, including all the judges, will not allow us to go there and try to fix this before the 2024 election. And so he said, it appears Harris is being run by the media as a neck and neck candidate, basically, with Trump, not because she's neck and neck, no way, but because they want that perception out there when they flip the votes and she's brought in and given the presidency. You know, I don't know that'll happen, But he did indicate the algorithms that are inside our election equipment now will again turn it over to foreign adversaries or foreign concerns that will be able to change things inside our election voting system. So, well, Carsey, thank you for even looking. There's not many people in America anymore even look or seem concerned. I mean, I don't think, you know, and this is another point of mine. The Christians are not even out there declaring they want a righteous election. If they are, would somebody please tell me the crowd so I can at least go to a website somewhere and view the crowd that's out there demanding this? You know, the Christians out there, thousands of them demanding, you know, secure elections, you know, no voter fraud, no illegals voting in American elections. Christians, where are you?
Yeah, in this day of technology as we have it, which is just incredible, it is very easy for them to rig these machines with algorithms. That is the key right there, algorithms. These are codes, computer coding, that is like a recipe which determines how the machines are going to react to whatever or whoever the voters vote for. I've already seen one story out there, somebody who has voted, I guess there's some place where they can vote early, who saw their ballot on the computer screen, on the voting machine, change right before his very eyes. And I remember seeing this happen during the 2016 election, that people were voting on the machines and they would select Trump. And instead of Trump's name getting the check, Hillary Clinton's name got the check. So they have this in place. They've been putting this stuff in place since that happened in 2016, maybe even before then. They have set up these algorithms to totally defeat the winning of the election by Donald Trump and give it all to Hillary, or rather Kamala Harris, to win this thing. So right now, what I encourage Christians to do is to vote fervently, among other things, for these algorithms that are being used to be scrambled. I am doing that right now, and I hope everybody will do that, because we have the power through prayer and through numbers to scramble their algorithms or nullify them so that they will not work when the voting really begins on the 5th of November. They can force a change in it. I'm learning this gradually as I see many prayers being answered. It's just amazing what happens when you get a prayer answered. And I've had some answered that weren't really prayers. It was just something that I needed, and all of a sudden it shows up. So this is the power of prayer, and we've got to pray against these algorithms and these voting machines that have been rigged to give the election to Kamala Harris. Vote against them, cancel them, nullify them, cast them down, and these prayers will have an effect on it, including all the other prayers that we pray. But the church has really got to come together with this in their prayers, because they can do just incredible things with all of these prayers in agreement.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to pray. And a lot of people have been doing that. And fasting. And I encourage the people, and I joined them, and fasting throughout the high holidays, starting on Rosh Hashanah and ending in Yom Kippur, and then even a little further on. And I may still do another season of prayer and fasting now as we approach the election. I took a break. I was telling my wife yesterday, I may pick it up again, because this thing is for the whole ball of wax. And prayer changes things, but you also have to act. I also was telling the people yesterday, and on my other program I did Thursday nights, do not vote by ballot, by mail-in ballots. Do not do that. Don't do that. Okay? Because chances are they're going to throw that one away. That is never going to be counted. Okay? Because everybody is in on it. Everybody. The mail system is in on it. The people that open the mails are in on it. And so, you know, it's best for you to go there in person and vote. Now, having said that, I'm also encouraging the people to vote early voting now. Vote early. Vote early. I think early voting started in most states. I think here in Florida is starting in a day or two. I'm going to vote early. And the reason I say that is because if you leave it to vote on the 5th, on November 5th, chances are also that there's going to be problems, whether they're real or created. It doesn't matter, okay? Because problems can also be created by wickedness in high places, if you know what I mean. they are on top of this thing, believe you me, and also people that work for them. And so you cannot take a chance of doing that when you go vote on November the 5th, wherever it is in the country, that you're going to be allowed to vote. First of all, they may shut it down and say, no, we ran out of ballots or a pipe broke or whatever, and send you back home and tell you, come back in, 3 hours or whatever. And by that time, people are not going to go anywhere. They're not going to go back. So take my word, heed this advice, heed my counsel, go vote early. Vote early. Do not vote on that day unless you have to. I mean, in some places, you may have no choice but to vote on that day. But try to vote early. And also, the people in Florida, I was telling the people in Florida that, and on the West Coast especially, and the Central Florida, that they have another hurricane planned. Again, you don't have to believe me or trust me. Just think about it, what I'm telling you. They're going to have another hurricane planned around election time, maybe before, probably before, a day or two before. So people cannot vote. Listen, these people, you have no idea of the wickedness that we're dealing with. You have no idea. We are not in normal times, folks. We are not in Kansas like the Wizard of Oz. We are not in Kansas, Dorothy. We are not in normal times, people. Wake up, wakey, wakey. We are not in normal times. Go vote early. Do not vote by mail. It may never get there. Your vote may never be counted. It's just like throwing it in the garbage. And also, when you vote, make sure that they're not changing your vote. Those algorithms that Larry and Chuck were talking about, well, they can do all the algorithms they want, but if you vote there, and you vote, and then once you vote and finished, you make sure that the vote is what you said it should be, and that is what goes into the record. That is not going to be as easy to change as something else. Now those machines out there, that is trouble. That is trouble, and those machines, yeah, they can do anything they want with that. Anything they want with that, with the machines. And if I was going to vote, and they have these machines, in a city, probably in the big cities, I would go up there and say, I want a paper ballot, please. And they should be able to accommodate you. Okay, they should have that option. And if they don't, I think that they should be. It should be the norm. People should have the option. Just like when you go to the airports, right? I used to do that all the time. Travel overseas in my mission trips. And then I would go through those, I was going to be scanned and all that stuff. And I told the people, I don't want to go through that machine. And then they told me, well, then we're going to have to, pat you down. I said, well, go ahead. Have at it, but I'm not going to go through that machine. I'm not going to do that. And I would go through the pat down. And then if they started getting close to, my genitals, I said, hey, easy. I mean, these people are devils. But, you have to learn how to play their game. and now get angry and start shouting that you're going to shoot somebody. No, don't do that. Just be firm, be strong, and hold your ground, and tell them, no, I'm not going to go through that. And I think if you go to a voting poll precinct, and if you tell them, listen, and this is something that the Republican National Committee should address. They should address this and maybe even file a lawsuit or something that people should have a choice to vote by hand ballot, written ballot. If they don't want to use machines, they should have votes available for those people that do not want to use the machines. That is something that needs to be brought up. Probably it's a little late in the game, but that is something that should be addressed. And I know that if they were to ask me my opinion, that's what I would tell them. I said, you gotta approach this thing, these people, and if they don't listen, bring a lawsuit and tell them that there are people that do not want to use that. I mean, there's got to be choices. They have all choices in the world for the people that are not citizens of this country, for illegals. They give them choices and they bend backwards 10 feet to accommodate them. Well, I think it's time that they start accommodating the citizens of this nation a little bit. And this is something that has to be fought in the courts. And I think it will be won. Because it's a very simple petition. It's a very, very, very simple petition. Very common sense, really. I mean, I don't want to vote with those machines. I don't trust them. That's it. You don't have to say anything. Accuse them of anything. You don't have to say that you're rigging the votes. You're cheating. You don't have to say any of that. Stay away from that. Because then they're going to grab that and then they're going to accuse you, blah, blah, blah. Stay away from that and just say, I don't feel comfortable using those machines. I would like a normal ballot that I can fill in with my hand and a pen. And that's it. And so we have to step up in this thing and learn how these devils work and beat them at their own game. Because the other way it's been tried and it don't work. And anyways, there's something here I wanted to share with you, and then I'll turn it over to you guys. But there was another letter, an open letter by Archbishop Vigano, however you say it. And it's to the American Catholics. And what this man says there, again, here's another Catholic priest. Well, he was fired. He was he was excommunicated by the Pope because he spoke too much truth, and they couldn't handle it, and they just kicked him out right out of the church, stripped him of everything. And so here he is. He wrote an open letter now to the American Catholics, and what he said, I have not heard anybody say this. And I have not heard any Protestant preacher or any internet prophet say this either. Here's what he said. Kamala Harris is an infernal monster who obeys Satan. Try that for size. Or like they say, put that in your pipe and smoke it. My goodness, that is raw. And so here he is a Vigano. And I don't know how much clearer you can put it. I mean, anything else other than that, it's just surplus. It's just the cherry on the top. This is very clear, and there's no more clear way you can put it. And so anyway, this is coming from the lips of Archbishop Vigano to the American Catholics. And that really just caught my eye when I saw that, because this is what we're doing. Now, one last thing. And, one of the reasons why this thing is so messed up is because the people that are supposed to be speaking for the American people in the Republican Party, the Conservative Party, right, supposed to be the party of the patriots? Mm-hmm. Right? Mitch McConnell, who is supposed to be the Speaker of the House, right? Or the lesser speaker, I don't know what title is that, the Democrat from New York is the Speaker of the Senate, of the Senate, not the House, the Senate. And Mitch McConnell used to be the Speaker of the Senate when they had the majority, and now they don't. But anyway, listen to this. He is now attacking Rick Scott, who is the Senate, the Republican senator from Florida, conservative, very good senator. He's really very, very straight shooter, very good. He's attacking him 2 weeks before the election. And he refused to fund him, to fund financially Rick Scott. And he refused to fund Carrie Lake and Ted Cruz. And yet he blew millions on a rhino that nobody knows, Larry Hogan, and he lost anyway. So this is what's happening. This is what's happening. We have a third column that is really against the people of this nation, and it is right in your yard. It's right in your territory, and he is one of them. Is McConnell among many others, and they're fighting against the people. And so as long as we have this in this country, it's going to be very, very difficult to get your act together and, you know, turn this into a machine that it can win, because it's not going to happen when you have divisions like this inside your own turf. So there's a lot of problems, people. There's a lot of problems here, and only God can intervene. And I believe he is going to intervene. I believe he is going to bring Trump to the presidency, regardless of all this other stuff. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I can't remember how many, what have we got, 10 or 11 days. It's not a long time now. From what I'm hearing, it's going to be a pretty rocky ride, because everything's coming out of the closet, every kind of warfare you can imagine. And like you said, and you said it correctly, Mitch McConnell's a traitor. You know, he commits treason against the American people. I'll say it if nobody else will. And so's the Johnson from Louisiana that's running the House. He's a traitor. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. And it's proven. I mean, it's not like I have to make it up. It's proven. Everything they've done has been against the American people. And they just simply will not allow anybody to look or investigate anything that would help the people or give real revelation to the people of what's been going on. They're deceivers. They're liars. So, well, that's where we are. And, you know, I don't have much to say good for Washington, D.C. And that's just me. But, you know, here we are. And like you said, you know, it's a shame that we didn't have a force in the Republican Party that really, and you know, the majority still hate Trump. They're all never, and pretty much all never Trumpers. There's only a few. But I did hear, and this is just me, and he's come out, and I placed him in my, you know, I've got a little short, it's a short list of wild cards. That's what I call them. You can call them anything you want to. I call them wild cards. You know, and the wild cards that I've always had in my deck, as you would call it, was Trump, Donald Trump, Benjamin Netanyahu, Vladimir Putin, believe it or not. You know, those have been wild cards. And one of the other wild cards that I've added is Elon Musk. And oddly, and I just saw this on America's Voice News a few days ago, because Mitch McConnell has not funded any of the elections of individual Republicans that are running in the Senate for election, that either love the Lord or love righteousness or want Trump in office, Elon Musk has stepped up and pumped millions into their campaigns to try to help them get over the November 5th election and possibly win. So, kudos to Elon Musk. You know, I know he's a little strange at times, and you know, but you got to give him credit. He's in there and he's making a mark.
Yeah, well, good for Elon Musk. I'm glad he's putting his money someplace where it means something. Not that it, what he's doing doesn't, but when you're trying to put good people into office to at least endeavor to turn the tide of what these evil people are doing, that's good. It really is. It just amazes me how many people who have gone into politics and make it a career have enabled themselves to be so corrupted. And one of the reasons for that, of course, is their greed and taking all of these bribes, these the people that are coming around to their offices and convincing them to vote for this or vote for that or use their power to do the will of these people. It is just amazing, or maybe not so amazing, what they're willing to do in order to get that money. We all remember Randy Cunningham, who was very popular in Washington, and then it came out, to the shock of everybody, I was surprised also, that he had taken bribes to vote a certain way on certain bills. And I don't know if he's still in prison or not. Maybe he's out by now. But it's amazing how people will put themselves at risk, their careers, their personal lives, everything, just for the money that is in politics, that you can make a lot. We see these politicians who retire as millionaires. Where did all that money come from? Bribes and perks from those that they're really working for, not the American people, but corporations and foreign governments, so that they can have this money. And eventually, I think they're going to face a great deal of regret for what they have done. When they reach the end of their lives, they're going to look back and wish they had not done it because of the damage that they've done to this country, whether they love it or hate it. So it's really a shame to see this happening, but this is the way that it is. And it's something we have to deal with, and it is just mind-boggling what is happening right now.
Yeah, it's a mess. What can I say? It's a mess, and Washington D.C. That's the that is the crux of the evil right there. Anybody that wants to go work there lost their minds, because, you know, and that's why when I see some of these governors that are trying to give, you know, leave their state, right, their capital, and go and run for something in Washington D.C., man, they either have a commission from God, they have to hear from God, say, you know, I want you to do this. If not, they're crazy. They're crazy, because what is in Washington D.C. It's not just money, and you were talking about that, Chuck, and that is true. It is, some of it is money, but there's a lot of filth there, a lot of filth, and they will start digging everything, threatening you, and then you know, surrounding you with all kinds of people that are, you know, that are bad influences on you, to try to persuade you. It's unfathomable what these people do. I cannot tell you, really. That's about all I can say, because I have never been there. But I have been to Washington, not to the White House or, you know, Capitol or anything like that. But I have been to Washington one time, many years ago, and you know, very pretty back then when I went. It was about maybe 30 years ago. It was a little different, but still, you know, it was a little strange. So anyways, there is a lot going on here, and we have a lot of things going on in the world. We have all of these things in the world right now taking place, and it seems like there is a pause. Somebody has pushed the pause button. Uh-huh. And things are paused. The situation in the Middle East, right now Israel is paused. and looks like they're not going to launch attack right now. And seems like the situation with Ukraine and Russia is paused, although the fighting continues. I'm not saying the fighting has stopped. I'm just saying the major conflict has been paused. The fighting is going to continue nonstop, no matter what. But something has happened, and I'm praying, and a lot of people are praying that they will stop. And this people, because Netanyahu, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I have my reservations about the man. I'm not sold out on the man either. I'm not sold out on him. I think he plays both sides. I think he plays with globalists, and then he tries to do right by Israel. And he's playing both sides. He's double-minded, or mixed. There's a mixture there, and I could say the same about a lot of people. People can get mixture. Double-minded means one day you're on this side, one day you're on the other. It's not constant, and so. There's a lot there that I'm not going to say anything else because I don't want to. I'm going to stop there, but I'm not sold out on the guy. And on Trump, I'm going to vote for him, but I'm not sold out on him 100%. Like saying I trust the man explicitly and implicitly, I don't. But I'm going to vote for him because he's the one God's going to use. He has shown me he's the one God's going to use to bring this country through what's coming. So I trust, I do trust the Lord implicitly and explicitly. Him, I do trust. He's the only one I trust. The only one. Everybody else? No, I don't. Because man is very double-minded. Most 99.9% are double-minded and cannot be trusted. And so I do trust the Lord, and he has shown me that, he wants this man, and he's going to use this man, and he is protected this man. And that's all I need to know. And that's all I care to know. That's really all I care to know. I don't need to know anything else. And as long as the Lord shows me that, that's all I'm going to care about. And all these other little things, I really don't care about. Now, he's got a lot of positive things that he's going to do. And for example, now he's talking about, eliminating the income tax completely. He's flirting with that. Well, there's rumors. I mean, it doesn't mean he's going to do it, but he's floating it out there. And then he's going to do away with the tax and tips. He's going to do away with taxes on your retirement, on your Social Security. I mean, he's got a lot of, and he's going to do away with taxes on overtime earnings. He's got a lot of good things that he's going to, financially. I think he's very good. I think he's excellent when we come to finances and restoring the economy of the country. I think he's going to do great. And the other guy there that he's got with him, JFK Jr., I like the things he said that he's going to help Trump with the health of the Americans, American people's health. I like that. There's some things about him I don't trust and I don't like. Again, there's a couple of things I like, and that's all. That's all I can say. That's all I can say. The same with Elon Musk. He's doing a lot of good things for Trump. He's helping him. He is talking against electing this, the other side. The people, he said, are very dangerous. They're going to bring us to World War III. And so he is helping a lot in this dimension, and he's putting in his money where his mouth is. A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people don't put their money where their mouth is, but he is. And so you got to respect him for that. Whether you like him or not in anything else, you got to respect the man for that. The same with Trump. He's putting his money where his mouth is. And he's risked all his wealth. He's risked all his possessions and buildings he owns and golfing courts. And he's put everything on the line. And So he has also put his money where his mouth is. And, that goes to show you something. And that is in the scripture, by the way. And I'll turn it back over to you in a moment. And that is, where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also.
Well, that's very true. Absolutely true. And by the way, when I mention wild cards, I don't ask anybody to believe them. I don't ask anybody to think about them. I don't even ask people to pray for them. That's up to you.
Yeah, speaking of taxes, the thing about the illegal, I call it the illegal revenue service, is that all of the money they've collected in taxes ever since that organization has been created has been theft from the American people. And the reason for that is because when the 16th Amendment to the Constitution came up and they wanted to establish this organization, this agency, it was supposed to have been ratified by the states. It was not ratified by the states. And because of that, the illegal revenue service is just that. It is illegal. The ratification did not occur, but the government said that it did. But there have been people that have gone into the congressional record and researched this and found out that it is truly an illegal organization or agency. So I applaud Trump for wanting to get rid of the illegal revenue service. I don't know if he will be able to do it. I hope he can, so that people are no longer being robbed by the government. Because all of the money that they are supposedly collecting to pay tax, to pay the for whatever the government is spending money on, is actually, believe it or not, being used to pay off the debt for the money, which is debt money. It incurs a debt to the Federal Reserve, because as the United States government prints money, it has a debt attached to it, where it has to be paid back to the Federal Reserve with interest. And that's why the national debt has grown into a monster, because all we've been printing by allowing the Federal Reserve to print the money is printing more and more debt money. So the debt just grows and grows and becomes a monster, which it is now. So if we can get rid of the IRS, I'm all for it.
Well, we're getting closer to the end of the program, and I wanted to share now some things that are very interesting indeed. And there is now a report, and this has been now being published in several outlets, news outlets, a new cancer treatment protocol that features the horse dewormer, ivermectin, the dog dewormer, fenbendazole, and membendazole, and it has passed the peer review and is marking the potential breakthrough in therapy. So this is a new cancer treatment protocol involving drugs like ivermectin, which was commonly known by the mainstream media as a horse dewormer, fenbendazole, which is a dog dewormer, and mebendazole, which has recently passed peer review and is being heralded as a potential breakthrough in cancer therapy. Now, you're not going to hear this mentioned in mainstream media. You're not going to hear this from your doctor. And probably it's going to be stashed away and hidden in the Library of Sciences somewhere. They're not going to push this because it goes against the big pharma. I mean, what do they have to gain by this? And if there is nothing to be gained, if there's no money to be made, big pharma is not interested. And I understand they need money to function. I understand that. They need money for research. But it has become much more than that. It has become a business without regard for people, without regard for people. And so I'm sharing this with you because I went through a very difficult time with last year with the passing away of my brother. He passed away. He died of oh, I can't remember that organ. He had cancer, and I can't remember that organ. Anyway, but he had cancer, and he passed away from it. And he was going to a doctor, and the doctors just had him on this chemotherapy for months and months and months, and then it was a year, and then it was 2 years. And this is a true story told to me by him and his wife. And then when eventually he got so sick that, I mean, I went to visit him the year before, 2 years ago. And when I saw him, it just destroyed me. It shocked me. He didn't look like my brother at all. And I mean, he was like another person, which is what cancer does to people. And then they both told me that eventually when he got really sick and he was taken to another hospital down there in Miami, another doctor that saw him in the emergency room told him, you know, when they told him what he had been on and the therapy that he had been on, the chemotherapy, this doctor told him, he says, this is what's killing him. This is what's killing him. They should not have had him on this therapy for so long. He said it was only supposed to be for a short time, and he's not supposed to be on it for 2 years. And so he says this is what's killing him. And so it was too late. And then you know, he never went back to that doctor, of course, but it was too late. And so this is what is happening today in the medical field. And this is the reason why, you know, you have to be very careful. You have to make sure you have a good doctor. If you have a good doctor, you are blessed. You are blessed beyond measure. If you have a good doctor and a place that takes care of you without, you know, the eye on the insurance, you know, and all this and prescribing you medicine that will kill you. If you have a good doctor, count your blessings, and don't try not to lose that doctor, because it's probably going to save your life. But if you don't have a good doctor, then you rely on this information like I'm giving you, and other people sent to me, precious people sending this information. I don't come up with this. People send it to me. Others, I see it in the news. But this is now what it seems to be making the headlines, the dewormers, that so-called dewormers like ivermectin and then fenbendazole, a dog dewormer, and then mebendazole. And now they say that this has been successful in the treatment of cancer. So praise God. Hopefully Trump, when he gets to be president, he will make these things available to the people, and so that they don't have to go through, you know, jump through hoops to get this information. So we have a few minutes left, about 7 minutes left. So Larry and Chuck, and then we'll wrap it up.
Well, I agree. I actually had a friend down here. She was a Choctaw Indian, and she had cancer and tried to use the dog wormer because, number one, she couldn't afford the other and couldn't seem to get, you know, the other. And the fact was she had talked to people that had used, you know, a lot of the pharmaceutical stuff, and it just literally kills you too. And unfortunately, a short time later, she passed away anyway. But, you know, I'm aware of that. And ivermectin, there seems to be a lot of chatter out there, if you will, on some of the medical. It's not the normal medical people. It's almost like the renegade medical people, the real people, the real doctors that have to hide. They seem to, you know, conclude that ivermectin can have an effect against that terrible thing. So, with that being said, and by the way, ivermectin and that dog wormer you're talking about, that's both of those are anti-parasite medications. So that could be a clue. I don't know, but you know, It would be great if Trump could somehow take power and shut down the pharmaceutical industry that's killing people, and for a short time, if nothing else, delay the poisoning of the American people, you know, for a while. But anyway, I was also going to mention something that Chuck said. You know, he mentioned the illegal IRS, and he's exactly right. A friend of mine that I had for years, and of course he's passed away, but it also seems that I've lost a lot of friends in the last few years. I mean, a lot of friends and associates in the radio programs and blogs. And I mean, it's just unbelievable how many people we've lost, good people. But I don't know if Chuck remembered him. I think you were on his shows years ago. I know he was on Georgia and Hughes shows, Augusto, and I think he was on Randy Arbour's shows. He was out of Las Vegas. But anyway, Randy Arbour was really, he was extremely intelligent with all the right documentation and information on the IRS and how illegal it was at all. Of course, the American people just put up with it anyway, and the government always stands behind it. So Chuck's right. It is an illegal, opportunistic form of stealing from the American people, and it's even turned into a prosecutor, if you will, of the righteous. But oddly enough, I was on a lot of shows with Randy Arbour. He actually, because of his continued reports on his radio shows about the illegal IRS and a lot of other things that he talked about, they tried to put him in prison. They wasn't able to get him in prison, but they indicted him and took him to trial, and he didn't go to prison, but they haunted him every radio show. He had problems, and he passed away a few years ago. But the Randy Arbour show, it was one you could learn a lot if you ever got to listen to it. But I think, Augusto, I believe you was on his show way back.
Yeah, it's the information is out there, and there are people that are blowing the whistle, including there's one man, and I can't remember his name. He is a former agent with the IRS. And he said that one day he was listening to a radio program. He tuned in because supposedly there was somebody on there that was going to talk about this, that the collection of income taxes was illegal. And he thought, no, come on now. So he listened to the program, and by the end of the program, he was on board with that because this individual presented facts and information that couldn't be refuted. So this guy started airing his beliefs where he worked at the IRS, and eventually he had to leave because they made life miserable for him because he knew the truth and was trying to spread it to other agents, and they didn't like that. So anyway, this is a very interesting concerning this, but this you know, I think just about every agency in our government right now is doing illegal things. We know the FBI is, the CIA and so forth. And it's time people really start waking up to this and start, objecting to this publicly. And if enough people do it, you know, we can, you know, make some changes maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of weird stuff, and one other area that people need to target. And by the way, Larry, yes, I was with Randy Yarborough, and I was with you with him many times in the past. So yeah, I'm sorry to see him go, but there have been a lot of fallen warriors this last few years. I lost a few good friends too out there, but anyways. I've been looking at the news, and one other area, one final thing I wanted to leave with the people and the intercessors out there is this activist judges. We need to target these activist judges. Now listen to this other one. Remember the one in Georgia? What he did? He overturned what the county there, what the voting, the voting, I can't remember the name of it, but you know, that it was a Georgia legislative, office ruling. They made a ruling, remember, to strengthen the elections, make sure that there was no cheating. And the judge just rose up and he overturned it. And then there was another one somewhere did the same thing. And now this one in Virginia ordered the judge orders Virginia non-citizens back in the voter rolls after the governor, you know, removed them because of a law. And the judge said, no, you cannot remove non-citizens. They are supposed to be back on the voter rolls. I mean, have you ever heard such a stupid, unlawful, unconstitutional statement as that? A judge ordering non-citizens to be put back on the voter rolls? The last I heard, I believe that you're supposed to be a citizen of the United States to have the right to vote. Is this guy a judge? I don't think so. I think this is, again, puppets. These are puppets. And we have to pray that God strips these judges of their authority and exposes them for their, you know, what they're doing. These people are not judging constitutionally. They're not judging according to what is right and wrong. They're judging according to what they're getting paid to judge and the verdict that they're being paid to do. That's the way it is, folks. We need to pray against this wickedness. We need to pray against it, and God will expose it. And here's a simple prayer. I'm living with you. Pray that God will, all these people that are doing these treacherous things, they will be found out, discovered, penetrated, flushed out, exposed, and stopped in Jesus' name. And then from there, let the authorities take it from there. But let them be stopped and stripped of their authority, of their power, in Jesus' name. We'll wrap it up right here. Thank you, Larry. Thank you, Chuck. And thank you all for tuning in and spending this time with us. We pray and trust that it has been a blessing and a time where you learned something and helped you some way. Until next time, God bless you and shalom.